supposed to show you that day.
You won't say.
The time is 7 o'clock on July 13th, 2017. I'm calling to order the Pabbi Missouri River Natural Resources Board of Directors meeting. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
A copy of Open Meetings Act, Nebraska Revised State Statute 84-1407 through 84-1414 is posted on the back wall of the meeting room. Prior to turning to the agenda for tonight's meeting, I would like to announce the procedures that will be used for the meeting. With respect to each agenda item, the directors will hear the subcommittee chairperson's report and proposals and recommendations. Then the public will be given the opportunity to address the board chairman. Lastly, directors will discuss the item and take action. All questions and comments will be addressed to the board chair. We ask the public not to interrupt the director's discussion or action. Thank you. With that, quorum call, please.
Bradley.
Here.
Fred Conley.
Here.
John Conley.
Here.
Fowler. Grunwald.
Here.
Jeff.
Here.
Lane.
Yes.
Here. Thompson.
Here.
Weiss.
Here.
And chairperson.
Here. And we do have an excused absence from Director Tim Fowler. Agenda item number 4, adoption of the agenda.
Take it.
I have a motion and a second. Roll call on the motion, please.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Grunwald.
Yes.
Jack.
Yes.
Leahy.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Weiss.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Chairperson.
Yes. Agenda item 5, adoption of the consent agenda.
Second.
Multiple moves and multiple seconds.
Fritz.
Roll call on the motion, please.
John Conley.
Yes.
Grunwald.
Yes.
Jack.
Yes.
Leahy.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Weiss.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
Chairperson.
Yes. The proof of publication for the meeting will be part of the permanent record this evening. Agenda item number 8, agency and association reports and presentations. 8A, Natural Resource Conservation Service reports. Neil Jensen.
Good evening.
Evening, Neil.
Kind of a quick report here, but and I'm not sure if I mentioned this last week. My email seemed to be in after this, but we got an additional $200,000 of EQIP funds. And most of that that we've had for EQIP under the general local funds had went to terraces and stuff. Now we're down to these are going to be cover crops, grass waterways, basins, and that gets all of our high priority applications funded, so that's a good thing. Also, all of our CSP applications are going to be funded, so all 9 of them that I talked about last month. And I kind of went through and looked at what kind of practices were the participants enrolling into this program. And cover crop and nutrient and pest management were the big items that people were signing up for. But there's a lot of other stuff that they were signing up for, too. You know, planting some trees, some forest stand improvement, planting some pollinator habitat. So that's a program that can be very diversified in what people can sign up for. So it's a good program from that standpoint. Next page, the last item that I've got, might have talked a little bit about this, but our state office had put money aside to help producers that are having to comply with controlling ephemeral erosion as part of the farm program. And we've got a sign up for some cost share dollars to do grass waterways, cover crops within those ephemeral areas. And they've got till next Friday to get an application in. But, you know, just trying to help out those producers that were being notified now that they're going to have to do something as part of our compliance reviews this spring. So, any questions?
I have a question. I've heard a rumor that you're somewhat short-staffed or going to be. Is that true?
Going to be, yeah. You know, I guess until the paperwork is signed, I've got 2 staff persons in September that have told me that they're retiring. So When you look at that, we lost a technician in Walt Hill here in the last 6 months, lost an RC. I'm losing a student this fall and losing two more RCs in September. So, you know, that's about 40% of my staff.
Yeah, obviously I have a plan to replace them.
Until everything they let us know that we can hire people. I mean, they've kind of taken the hiring freeze off, but we still have to look at Trump's proposal that he wants to cut USDA, and they want to know how are we going to meet those guidelines that he's given us. But hopefully, normally the RC positions is something that they've always considered a high priority position. And also then on our technician position in Walt Hill, we're within probably a days of hiring a contract employee to help replace that person. So.
Okay. Neil, that $200,000 additional, was that from other parts of the country that wasn't spent, or?
Probably other parts of Nebraska.
Oh, Nebraska that wasn't spent. Okay, good. So you're finding that extra money for us.
Yeah.
And obviously we were ready to accept that by having the application.
I guess I'll take some kudos on that because I said yes. Some other DCs said no, we're too busy.
Well, we appreciate that. Take kudos when you can, because if you don't say it, no one would know it. But we appreciate that. So thank you for accepting that and even being shorthanded, knowing that you can spend that. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you, Neil. Moving on to 8B, Nebraska Association of Resource Districts, Director Rich Teaser.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. The NARD did meet in North Fork on June 12th. One of the big items, as I told you last month, was the hosting of the 2020 National Envirothon. And this was a major item of discussion. And it did pass with two districts opposing. I did oppose it, as well as the Middle Niagara Borough. Only because of the way it was handled, it was not passed properly, did not go from committee to the floor of the whole to be voted on. And I think they saw their ways of error and it won't happen again. So I feel, you know, it's going to go. And the other major item that was discussed was the health insurance, which we are going to see about 5%. Overall increase for health insurance, 2.9% on dental. Nationally, the increases have been around 11%, so we're doing pretty good. I feel pretty good about it. And that concludes my report.
Thank you, Director Teaser. Any questions for Director Teaser? All right. Seeing none, we'll move right along. We do not have a legislative report this evening from Hodge Blackwell, so we'll go ahead and move along to agenda item number 9, public meeting review of the 2016 Integrated Management Plan Annual Report. Paul Woodward and Amy Zoller.
Good evening.
Good evening.
This is Amy Zoller, the Department of Natural Resources. We'll kind of be stepping through the PowerPoint presentation first. And catching on there. No, it's that one. There you go. So far, with the implementation of our integrated management plan, you guys have seen a presentation last year that basically covered primarily our first year of implementation. There's a few months from 2014, but so this is the second year. We'll come back to you, telling you kind of what was done in 2016 to meet the requirements of the plan. So the board and DNR jointly approved the IMP in August of 2014. And the plan, the purpose of the plan, as stated, is to just manage the hydrologically connected surface water and groundwater to sustain water uses and supplies for the long term. So that's kind of the overarching goal of the integrated management plan. And then it's broken down into these four policy items. And we'll go through what things are we doing to meet these objectives. I know they're kind of hard to see in this depiction. So looking at the entire district, the integrated management plan covers just this lower section. Anything that drains, surface water drains to the Platte or Elkhorn River. There's a small area down here that's included as well because it's part of the area that's hydrologically connected, even though it's some of it actually physically surface water drains to the patio. And Amy will show that here in a minute. So when we passed, when we adopted the IMP, we also adopted a couple minimum rules and regulations, things that we were going to follow. And what that meant was we were basically implementing a limit on the number of new irrigated acres we were going to allow each year in this area. And so both of us have a control in that standpoint because we limit how many new groundwater irrigated acres there will be, and DNR limits how many surface water irrigated acres there will be. So in the blue area shown on this map, we have rules in place that limit the total not more than 2,500 new acres a year. So far, this has never been a problem. We've never really exceeded 500 in any given year, and so we basically take applications and approve them on a first-come, first-served basis to whoever comes and wants to put in a new well. Amy, touch on that one.
And I just will add to that that it's a requirement of IMPs that they have one groundwater control and one surface water control. And then in this IMP, the only control that is in there is that limit on expanded acres. So for the surface water area, it's the surface water basin of the Platte River. That's within your NRD. And how we set our acres development is it's a line in statute, but it's one-third of what you determine for your groundwater acres limitation. So that equals roughly 834 surface water acres. And we contact you at the end of every year to see what your limit on acres is. And we do this for a few different NRDs. And then we set ours to one-third that amount that following January. So that's just kind of how that works.
So if you're kind of interested in what that ends up looking like a new surface water irrigator would probably be, we see some of them up here along Bell Creek. And what they do is they'll actually pump out of the creek into a little storage area, and then typically a pump from that storage area will go to, let's say, a pivot or pipe to irrigate the ground. That's how they do that. And the reason it's a third is the idea there is that when you pull something directly out of the creek, obviously that's a depletion to the creek or the river. When somebody puts in a groundwater well, it's thought that depletion to the actual river, what is that causing to the river, is less. So it's thought that by doing this way, they're about even. The amount of water this is taking from the river is about even with how much somebody pumping from the groundwater would affect the river. We don't know that exactly, but that's kind of a general rule of thumb. So starting off, we're going to tell you a little bit about the data collection that we do during the year and the monitoring that's done. I'll go through ours, and then Amy will touch on hers. And we'll wrap up by talking about some of the actions that we did last year and what we're planning to do over the next couple years. So in terms of, I talked about those number of irrigated acres, we only actually approved close to 200 acres this last year is all we really approved in two applications. I'll show the groundwater level measurements here in a minute. Let me keep going. And then the other data collection we do every year is to send out basically just an email to all the municipal well fields, water suppliers in that IMP area, and they get back to us with how much water they pumped for that year. And this is exactly just, like MUD has wells on both sides of the river. This would be just wells on our side of the river at the West plant. Amy does a good job of showing what happened the last couple of years. This is approximately, maybe another 1 or 2% more than that amount last year. So that hasn't changed a whole lot.
When you look at MUD South Plant, I think over 50% of those wells are actually in Cass County.
The I think the South Wellfield is all on the north side of the river.
Developed that plant, sir.
Okay. I've looked at those wells, though.
The county line there is on the land side of what was Cedar Island, where the majority of the wells are. So they're not in our NRD.
Okay. Maybe I wasn't maybe looking at the exact right line, but okay. Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. So I've never had MUD South actually split out which wells are on which side. So I'm not for certain, but we can do that next year and take a look at that.
If it makes the numbers work.
Well, it doesn't really matter. Each NRD would probably end up reporting it both ways, but yeah. Okay, go ahead, Amy.
Okay, and so Chapter 6 in the IMP lays out the monitoring plan, which Paul mentioned, the items that we report on. And so we report on surface water permitting activities. These are a list of the applications, surface water applications that we did approve in 2016. Two were for, just one was for irrigation. That was 111.7 acres. One was for domestic. It was a domestic use, but it did include some acres, 1.8. The rest were for flood control structures. There were two of those. We had two pending applications dismissed due to the irrigation project not going forward. We didn't deny any applications, and we didn't have any transfers. And here I'll go on to more data that we report on as far as monitoring goes. These are the stream gauges that are in or along the stream of your NRD. There's four Platte River gauges. There's one for the Elkhorn River, and then there's one on Papillion Creek there. The IMP states that we are to report on any Department of Natural Resources gauges, and we don't have any in your district. But these are the USGS gauges. That data is available via the NWIS website. You can go on there. But we did kind of pull the data, just some statistics from...
No, this is a stream gauge map.
Oh, okay.
The other one's just
okay, that's pretty much everything I just said, right? Mm-hmm. We did pull the data from the NWIS site, and just kind of for comparison to look at the years of the IMP, we put that data together. The IMP seems like a good way to kind of look at that every year. And as you can see, 2016, there was a lot more water flowing through the river. In 2015, there was more, too. Why don't you go to the next one? It's a little bit more clear. For average daily discharge, the USGS gives us the period of record mean, and so that's the brown bar right there. So that kind of gives you a better indication of what that average is. So 2015 had more water, too. It had about 20% more than the period of record when you average the Platte River gauges. But 2016 had about 40% more water flowing through, so... something to think about, like when we're looking at excess flows and everything. For water use for surface water, we don't require reporting for surface water permits, but we do a voluntary water use reporting, and so we send out an invitation to participate in the reporting, and producers can either use the web or just fill out a form and send it back to us. And we ask them to report on irrigated and non-irrigated acres, as well as crop types and the tillage system. And so in 2016, we sent out 52 invitations, and we received 22 responses. That's a big increase from the previous 2 years. I think it was 7 and 10 responses for 2014 and 15, respectively. And so these are just the reporting on the acres of the responses. It's not a whole scale picture of surface water, but 91% employed some sort of tillage practices, either minimum or no-till. About 17% of the acres were reported as irrigated and 84% as non-irrigated. And then you have your corn and soybean mix, mostly corn with a quarter soybeans. And then the next major crop category was dry edible beans. So we'll continue this reporting system. Like I said, we don't require it, but we do hope that people will fill out the form and get that back to us, and so that we can use that as a tool to track water use. We also, as a part of the IMP, report on municipal water use, and these are the groundwater transfer permits. And so these MUD and Lincoln Water Supply are required to report to us on these transfer permits. And we're showing again the years of the IMP here. The left two bars are for MUD and the right two bars are for Lincoln Water Supply. And so I don't have a lot of additional information on that. You'd have to go to MUD or Lincoln Water Supply, but we're reporting on it as required in the IMP.
Okay, so just to go through what were some of the actual actions we were working on last year. Under Goal 1, we've had the action of updating our groundwater management plan. You guys know what's going on there, and that's getting nearing completion as we're working with that. We do have the aquifer studies going on that both ENRA has done, and then we're working with USGS on the area between the Platte and the Elkhorn River, that study. Continue to work on the lower Platte with the weed management area. And then what's also going on is the lower Platte River drought mitigation study. So. Finally, under Goal 2, we have are looking at a GIS layer of irrigated acres that we have on hand. I guess what's going to happen there, we are going to have a proposal. Actually, there's a RFP out now, so we can get some proposals back with costs on what it would take a firm to help us set up and do the entire certification of irrigated acres. So we would have it nailed down and defined what acres are irrigated out there. And that would be, we're setting that up so producers could hopefully kind of fill out most of everything they had to do online. They could obviously do it in paper too, but we're giving them a good method, a way of doing that paperless option. So that's going to be happening in the next year. I'll show you the groundwater level map in a little bit. The ENRA report was completed for the Springfield area, which is in the IMP, so that most of that Springfield area that was flown was done last year, and the report was done last year. Water balance data, we don't have any brand new data on that, although we are working with Brown and Caldwell. They did the original water balance study, so where they take everything and inventory it up. That's good to do because that data helps transfer or is part of what is used in InSight too. And Amy knows a lot more about the InSight data. But and then we collected, like we showed, the municipal water use data. Jointly, we'll go ahead, Amy, on this one.
Okay. So a big part of what DNR is doing, and it relates to the IMP, is we're developing this Eastern Nebraska model, and we've broken the area up into two areas, the upper model and the lower model. They overlap, as you can see there, and we've shown where your NRD is in relation to that. The models are complex, and they take quite a while to develop. The geology is complex, but we're looking at the northern one being done at the end of 2017, hopefully in the southern model that has just started, but we do expect that to be completed next year. We can use these models to determine hydrologically connected area. Right now, we do not have a numeric groundwater model to determine hydrologically connected areas, but with this system, we will have that. And so we're looking forward to seeing what the new data and the new analysis would yield regarding that. We can, one thing I'll also mention about these models, this is about a half scale resolution, so you have to keep that in mind. But we set up these models, we hope that the NRDs will use them as well. So maybe to look at some alternative scenarios or anything like that. So, just keep that in mind if that's of interest to the NRD.
Great. So as a result of getting those results done here, at some point in time, we could actually see maybe a shift in that blue area of where we allow groundwater irrigated acres or not every year. That could be part of what comes out of that. Goal 3 is to water use education. some of the outreach things are listed there that we did last year. I'd say one of the things we did get done is both the NRD and DNR had a booth at the World of Water, so there was roughly 2,000 or more kids and parents that came out that day, and we were able to provide them information. We actually did hand out this kind of rain gauge so that people could use it in their lawns and track how much water they're applying. It gives some recommendations there on the side. Do you want to say anything about the other events you guys do statewide?
Sure, we do a lot of state events, and they're listed here, Husker Harvest Day, State Fair, Women in Ag, and the Governor's Ag Conference. And then another big initiative that we have is that Insight website, and we're continually working to improve that website, just putting new functionality, putting more data into it, and like Paul said earlier, it really is an inventory of water supply and water use, and the result of that is the water balance through time, and so we present that via this website for basins. So it's not NRD specific. We're hoping to hone in and get to that scale eventually, but we would like to use NRD data wherever possible, so any data sets that we can get from the NRD and implement in that, that's great. And IMP allows, you know, for that communication and everything. And then we have a goal to, with all of our IMPs, to do one joint public outreach event per year. And we're actually doing it in this NRD, and that's the World of Water. So we did that for the first time last year. Elise, who is here, ran that booth for us, and she's going to do it again for us this year because she lives here in Omaha, and it works out great. So we're looking forward to that again.
Okay, the final goal and actions discussed is how we work collectively with all the other water users in the Lower Platte Basin and then upstream. So part of that is DNR and our NRD are part of the Lower Platte River Basin Coalition, which is developing the basin-wide management plan. The status of that is still, you know, we see that we're kind of getting towards the end, but there's probably another couple meetings that are going to happen here in September. So we might see a draft plan probably by the end of the year. And I don't know when each of their seven respective NRDs, including us, would take action on approving that. But that's coming up sometime here. And there's the Lower Platte River Consortium. Don't get those two confused. That's the consortium is made up of the three Lower Platte NRDs and MUD and Lincoln Water. And that has to do more with this drought mitigation study that's going on. So how are we prepare? What are some of the actions we can take now or during a drought to mitigate what happens? And then funding opportunities, I mentioned the grants. These are what we've received so far over the last couple of years, and partially because we have an IMP. I mean, if we didn't have an IMP, we couldn't apply for any water sustainability funds. Why annual reviews? That's part of this adaptive management. So each year, once we get together, we would decide if there was actions we were going to do differently, things we actually needed to modify the actual plan or some of our rules and regulations. So far through this coordination, we haven't decided that there's anything major we're going to be revising at this point in time, but that's why we do this, sit down and do this together, is to figure out how it's going. So for the next couple of years, these are a lot of words, and you can kind of go through those. Those are actually also in each one of our plans. There's a written report for each of these, for DNR and for us. That's both ours available on our website now, and theirs available on their website. And they've kind of been good at keeping track of the multiple years on their difference on their site. So if you would go to that map real quick, Mike, I think we'll pretty much be wrapped up. I guess the last thing I was going to show was the groundwater levels we collected this spring. So I guess we have a map like this, kind of like this for 2016, but what's different here in 2017? So may just scroll down a little bit to the bottom of the map there and then zoom in a little. So anything not orange or red, the blue and the green are all groundwater levels where we've seen basically an increase. And a lot of these that say 0%, we didn't see any change at all because we've actually just added some of these in this area this year. And then what the percentage is telling us, and remember in our groundwater management plan, we're going to have a new rule that we wouldn't, if we saw fluctuations over 3 years where this was actually a percent that was going down, so the saturated thickness was declining, and it got to 10% of the saturated thickness. So these percentages are percents of saturated thickness, but for the most part, everything in the IMP area is at normal levels or on the rise. It's basically what we need to know. So we're not seeing any problems, and that's what we're kind of reporting, and that's what I'm kind of trying to show with this map is where those are at. Okay, I think that's all we got. Do you guys have questions?
Yeah. Director Conley.
I have a question. You started out with a slide that showed that the potential that you would improve up to 2,500 groundwater irrigated acres, I believe, about 800 and some surface water irrigated. Potentially, in the area, how many years' supply of potential irrigated land is that?
I know more about, like, we currently have probably around 25,000 irrigated acres now.
All right.
And I would say that that's probably only 30% of the total agricultural area out there. So we would have it's maybe roughly another 100,000 acres that could.
At 2,500 a year, if they did that, it would take a long time to achieve full development.
I believe so. And I think, you know, I don't know that we'll ever see anybody take that action to fully develop irrigation down here because, for the most part, it's not needed sometimes. You saw Amy's reports that she got that, you know, 84% of the people didn't turn their irrigation on last year because it was wet. So we see that a lot. But, yeah, I think – but the 2,500 number also, I guess we've also heard from the basin plan that that might be coming down. We don't know what it'll come down to. But it'll probably come down to something more reasonable, and it probably won't affect us because obviously we're not getting that much demand to approve that much, but we'll restrict that to even probably an even smaller number as we decide what that should be.
Thank you.
Yep.
Director Teaser?
Well, you said we can increase, what, 2,400 acres per year irrigation?
We can approve 2,500 and they can approve 800.
Okay, and roughly how many have we increased in the last year or two?
In the last year or two, we have never done more than 400, I would say. And this, like this year was 200 irrigated acres.
Well, I'm really concerned about this because right now as we sit here at Waterloo, the Little Elkhorn River is flowing 2,400 cubic feet a second of water, and the Platte River at LaShera is 1,200, twice as much water flowing in the Elkhorn than the Platte. As we sit here tonight, that's scary. I'm looking at a desert on the Platte River, and that's really scary when I don't see the water available for the fish and wildlife. And you know, I mean, it's really scary.
Yeah, the basin plan does more to address that, and it's probably the reason we see going to a declining those number of acres, bringing those down to a level that was a. 2,500 is still based on a guesstimate that they declared for all NRDs when they passed a legislative bill 6 years ago, Marlon, right? Or 6 or 7 years ago. So it's kind of grabbed out of the air. And I think what we're finding out is that, you know, it wasn't bad to start with that, but we're going to have to go a little bit further down. So do you have anything more on that, Amy? Sorry.
Not really. Yeah, the basin-wide plan will change that, and that's when we're probably looking at amending the IMP to fall under the umbrella of the basin-wide plan. And we're waiting on the numbers pretty much for the basin-wide plan.
Yeah. So next year I could see us actually, if we are going to modify something in the IMP and our regulations, we would both see if we have new hydrologically connected area based on the model. And we would see what these new numbers should be.
Thank you.
Yep.
Director Weiss and Director Bradley.
I got one question. you say that everything's a volunteer system. You send out letters, and then they address them voluntarily and send them back to you. Mm-hmm. How can we get accurate numbers when nobody's telling us how much water they're pumping through their irrigation system?
Currently the way it's done every year is that we more than likely take the land use that's being used, look at the precipitation data, and then make educated guesses or assumptions about how much water did they possibly apply this year based on the deficit there was for rainfall. So,
but you're giving us numbers that is out of the air, so to speak.
Well, that's based on, you know, real data out there.
It can't be real data if you don't know what the actual gallons or cubic feet are being pumped.
So, I mean, a particular crop can only use so much water, and so that's pretty much what we at the department base our assumptions on is the crop irrigation requirement for corn or soybean or whatever it is. And then we look at the statistics, the NAS statistics, countywide to find out what kind of crop mix was in that county for the particular year and apply the crop irrigation requirement to the land that is irrigated. We have ways of determining that. We'd love certified acres. That'd be better.
That could explain Director Teaser's question, why is one river flowing so much versus the other? Because you might have a whole bunch of well properties over there that are just pumping like crazy one area, and you don't have much of irrigation property in the other area, and that would tremendously affect what we're talking about.
And I would say you're definitely right. There's a majority of the other entities that are in our basin have their irrigated acres, you know, tightened down. They figured out what exactly is being irrigated. And they've gone to mandating that they put water meters on them and that they report that every year.
That was going to be my next
And our question. I guess we can look at that. In our groundwater management plan, what we're planning to do is to at least begin with allowing a cost share program where producers for a certain number of years could get money to get a water meter. Now, what other NRDs have done that maybe in our IMP area, what other entities have done is says, we're going to give you cost share we're going to open it up for maybe 5 years. If you haven't taken advantage of that in 5 years, you go pay it for yourself and it's required. So that might be an option in just this area to make sure that we're metering that.
Director Bradford.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chairman. Well, this reminds me, it was about 2 weeks ago, there was an article in the Omaha World Herald, and it's in Lincoln County. There was a pipeline that two NRDs southwest Nebraska combining to get groundwater and then run these pipelines to replenish two rivers that had low flow. And I wrote a piece saying it reminded me of robbing Peter to pay Paul. And the hydrologic cycle, and so forth. And I'm all about the family farmer, but sometimes it's these landowners, are they even from Nebraska, and are they even from the United States? And so, of course, they'll never print anything I say. It's a warm, fuzzy feeling on their part. I just poke holes through things. That's what makes me tick. But I appreciate your work and the
Director Leahy.
Yeah, I've got a few questions. My first two questions, Director Conley and Director Teaser asked. But then Director Teaser put out information that isn't quite squaring with the water flow increases that you guys are talking about. So I'm wondering, is it on our side or is it the other NRDs that they need integrated management plans? How is it that the Elkhorn is going down when you show the graph of water flows going up the past couple of years?
There was some precipitation last night on the Elkhorn, as there was on the Platte, but it probably shows up more on the Elkhorn. But the Elkhorn has, in the last 4 or 5 days, run higher than the Platte generally.
So we can't say any of the water flow excesses, anything really we're doing now. It could just all be changes in precipitation. These 2 years we're having more.
Don't forget tile drainage systems. We don't know the effect on that. We're actually kind of doing a little study. It's nothing formal, but we're just interested in why is the water increasing in the Elkhorn River. It's an interesting situation, but we're kind of looking at the effect of tile drains. Everything we do is modeling, so it's, you know, it's a model, but we're just kind of looking at the the scenario we're looking at is if you tile drain the whole basin, what is your water flow? And if you don't have any tile drains, what is your water flow? So just a real general thing. But in the upstream NRDs or the Elkhorn, there's, let's say the lower Elkhorn has an IMP. The upper Elkhorn is going to start an IMP. The loop, the, both the loops have IMPs. And Lewis and Clark has IMPs, and in like four of those tile drains is a real big question. It was a real big topic at stakeholder meetings, and people want to study that, and they want to know where they are, and we're not sure where they are, and we're not sure how to figure it out. But it's I don't know why the stream flow's increasing, but we did look at precipitation, and the precipitation over time, and it depends on how you look at it, has increased, so that could be it right there, but there's it's complicated.
Yeah. And then, Paul, you sort of mentioned in future years as part of your the adaptive management is dropping the number of acres, but if we already have a slack of we're getting 1/5 of the applications that we can approve, I mean, even if we cut it in half, we're still good. So I'm not entirely sure what that would accomplish. Effectively, I think something more like what Director Weiss was saying may be a little bit better just to get more accurate data for a future adaptive management or implementation thing. So it's great to have the information. It doesn't sound like we're implementing anything per se right now, but I remember a couple of years ago this was, for some reason, very controversial to pass with a lot of people chiming in on it. So it's great that it hasn't seemed to affect anyone negatively thus far. I had one last question about the World of Water event that we do. I thought that was more geared towards kids.
Everybody.
Are 8-year-olds and 12-year-olds eating this information up? I mean, we talked about presenting it at World of Water a couple times. Oh. I mean, I'm sure there's parents there, but...
Yeah, we're not presenting all this information. We're... if anything, what we're trying to do is enact water use efficiencies. So it was more information we provided was more aimed at people reducing the amount of water they put on their lawns,
turning off the sink when you're brushing your teeth, that stuff. Okay.
Yeah, and I kind of had a corn stalk there and some grass to kind of say, okay, you can see why this takes more water than this. 7 feet tall. It's huge.
We have a model that we use, and it shows groundwater pumping and the effect on streams. And we have a little thing where you pump in or you pull out the water, and then it makes the stream go down. It's like about this big. So.
Well, that's really fun. Just was chuckling to myself
about
a bunch of 9-year-olds checking this out. So.
Yeah.
Any further questions from directors? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sure.
I guess I did have one question, but it's maybe, aren't we doing something like this for water quality, too, in the future? Didn't I call something like that being discussed?
All you can touch on. I mean,
so for water quality, so that, yeah, I should probably, so the IMP, you know, we showed where that is effective. The groundwater management plan will be the entire district, and that is what has a groundwater quality piece to
okay.
it. So, yep.
And I'll just add, I have some extra reports from the department, so if anyone is interested, I'd prefer not to take them home. So.
Thank you. All right, moving along to subcommittee reports, 10A, Programs, Projects, and Operations Subcommittee, Director John Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Be it resolved that the minutes of the July 11, 2017 meeting of the Province Projects and Operations Subcommittee are accepted, incorporated in these minutes, and the following recommendations of the subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. Number one, Big Papua Levee Culverts Phase 2 Rehab Project. Subcommittee recommends that the requirements of Board Policy 15.2 Purchasing Professional Services be suspended and the general manager be authorized to execute the proposed professional service contract with Fire Engineering, Inc. for the Big Papua Levee Culverts Phase 2 Rehab Project for a maximum not to exceed contract amount of $360,085. Subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as to form by district legal counsel, and I so move.
We have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I can make a friendly amendment to change the word suspended to waived. I think in the past we used waived as a terminology instead of suspended. So if that's okay, Mr. Chairman.
Sorry. And that's with no objection.
Yeah. Do we have a second? No objections. All right.
The amendment.
All right. Any further questions or comments from directors?
Do we have to vote on that? No?
It's friendly.
No. All right. All
right. Seeing no further questions, roll call on the motion.
Friendly.
No.
Yeah.
Yes.
Leahy.
Yes.
Peter.
Yeah.
Thompson.
Yes.
Weed.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Brad
Conley.
Aye.
John
Conley.
Yes.
Yes.
Item number two is a recommendation the general manager be authorized to execute the proposed amendment to the professional services agreement between the district and Fire Engineering for final design services for the WP6 and WP7 project in an amount of $38,291, bringing the total maximum not to exceed contract amount to $1,521,855, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as to form by district legal counsel, and I so move.
We have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Seeing none, we'll call on the motion.
Yeah.
Yes.
Leahy.
Yes.
Peter.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Weeks.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Brett Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Brunwald.
Yes.
And Chairperson.
Yes.
Number three is a recommendation the general manager be authorized to execute and submit a joint water sustainability fund application through NWAR for 60% of eligible projects costs necessary to acquire the proposed AEM survey data for the Southern Washington County and the Northern and Western Douglas County, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as to form by district legal counsel, and I so move.
Once again, have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
Leahy.
Yes.
Peter.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Weed.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Brett Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Brunwald.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
yes.
That completes my report.
Thank you, Director Conley. Moving on to 10B, Finance Expenditures and Legal Subcommittee, Director Rich Teaser.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Be it resolved, the minutes of the July 11, 2017 meeting of the FEL Subcommittee are hereby accepted, incorporating these minutes, and the following recommendations of the Subcommittee are hereby approved, adopted, and approved. One, FY 2018 budget draft one, no action was taken nor was it necessary by the subcommittee. Item two, FY 2018 budget.
I think we have to have a member from the public to speak to this item.
Nice try.
I didn't look up. I apologize, Sean.
Good evening, Sean.
It looks bigger than. Everybody get their thinking caps on. Sean Malotz, 10404 North 132nd Street. I just had a couple items that I wanted to address with the budget. I'm going to kind of skip through a few of my items, but I just wanted to bring it to the board's attention that this fiscal year budget of $69 million of proposed spending is $13 million greater than the amount listed and approved by this board for the 2017 long-range plan. For the newly elected board members, the long-range plan was approved by the board in October of 2016. The plan summarizes the district's projected activities and spending from 2017 through 2021, and therefore provides the public an expectation of compliance. I believe the board should require staff to refer to the long-range plan as approved just a few months ago and cut the spending on the budget presented tonight. I've included copies of the pertinent pages from the long-range plan. They're on the third, starting on the third page. And for the number that I'm referring to, if you'd like to skip to the page that's numbered 43 and look down the 2018 column, and it shows that the total expected expenditures for the long-range plan was $56 million. The second item I'd like to address this evening is that I'm quite alarmed by the number of dams that are listed in the proposed spending on this budget. There are 10 projects that are included in this budget. And I'm particularly opposed to the expending on 7 out of the 10 dams. The preliminary design spending for these structures not only stretches this year's budget, but it requires a huge property tax commitment for years to come. My concern is that staff plans to stretch the property tax obligation so thin that the PAPU NRD would be forced to ask the state of Nebraska to bail out these projects. Basically, another layer of tax will be needed to complete these projects, and I feel this is fiscally irresponsible. According to past statements by staff and board members, the progression of the dam projects was directed by the Papio Creek Watershed Partnership, made up of unelected officials. Included in my testimony tonight are pages from the Papillion Creek Watershed Management Plan, the March 2014 update, for which I believe is the most recent plan that's available. If you page through the documents that I provided this evening, the second to the last page shows, according to the partnership, the timeline for these dams. And I also put it in a chart on page 2 of my testimony. And I threw a line in that in my chart because WP6 and WP7 are both scheduled for this fiscal year. Yet the other 7 dams, one of them is 30 years projected in the future, and there are at least 5 of them that are just 10 years or further in the future. I think it's a little bit a potential problem when we're trying to spend design fees on dams that are projected to be completed in over 10 years. If you look through the chart, by including these structures in the budget, you're technically committing and burdening taxpayers with $120 million of future property tax costs. This is reckless, especially when less intrusive, less costly alternatives for flood control measures such as LIDs, including bioswales, infiltration swales, cells, conservation design, and rain gardens are available and should be considered and readdressed by this board instead of continually building dams. The NRD is not a developer, nor is its purpose to enhance economic development, which is apparent by the direction that is before you tonight. Another non-budget concern I have with the proposed dam is the timeline. I've been part of this process since 2004. We went to the senators through various different times and pleaded that this board put a timeline down for the building of the dams. The way I see it tonight, you're ignoring the timeline. It's painful to me that the timeline was misrepresented to the public, since noted above, 5 out of the projects are more than 10 years ahead of schedule. This is why there's a lack of trust. How can affected landowners and taxpayers rely on the information offered by this board? Where's the transparency? With these thoughts in mind, I ask that this board remove the costs that are budgeted for WP1, WP2, WP4, dam sites 7, 12, and 19. By eliminating those from the budget, we have a $3.6 million tax savings. In addition, I'm respectfully requesting that General Manager Winkler provide the day, the month, and the year when each of the structures were approved by this board. And when you do that, I would appreciate copies of the written minutes that reference such approval. Thank you.
Thanks, Sean.
Moving on, item number two, FY 2018 budget bid consultation, 1% resolution recommendation that the following resolution be adopted. Be it resolved that the Board of Directors of the Apache NRD approves the additional increase of 1% in the total restricted funds authority pursuant to Nebraska Revised Statute 13-1518 through 13-522, and I so move.
We have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff? Directors? Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
Peaser?
Yes.
Thompson?
Yes.
Please?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Fred Conley?
Aye.
John Conley?
Yes.
Brenwald?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Leahy?
No.
Jefferson?
No.
Motion fails.
So to 6A, no nay, or nay, and of course.
That concludes my report, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Director Teaser. Moving on to agenda item number 11, the Treasurer's Report. Once again, Director John Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Treasurer's Report consists of two resolutions that are on the screen, and items 11A through 11J, inclusive, and I move their approval.
Second.
We have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
Austin.
Yes.
Weeks.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Fred Conley.
Yes.
John Conley.
Yes.
Brenwald.
Yes.
Jeff.
Yes.
Leahy.
Yes.
Peaser.
Yes.
And
yes. And that concludes that report.
Thank you, Director Conley. Moving on to agenda item 12, a legal update from Hush Blackwell.
No legal updates.
Thank you. All right. Moving right along to agenda item 13, Chairperson's report. This evening, there is one thing that I would like to address, regrettably. I think it's important to, unfortunately, publicly address one of the director's behaviors toward our staff members. And Director Grunwald, yes, I'm talking directly to you.
I'm shocked.
Well, yeah. So basically, his comments have gone back and forth, emails from you requesting information from John Winkler, who has replied in a timely manner and certainly within all the requirements of state statute as well as the policies of the district. In doing so and being very professional, you have replied to him suggesting that he's incompetent. You've asked him if he's in grade school. Mm-hmm. You've said that his responses are childish and defective. You've called him unprofessional.
Defective. I don't remember that one.
His responses were that. You have called him out when he hasn't supplied information in the time, format, and manner that you wanted. You've called strikes upon him as if he is a child and or criminal that's going to be punished. Mm-hmm. And you've been rather demanding and condescending in the manner in which you request information. Especially when you're talking about information that you say the board has a goal, has set a goal toward that the board has not set a goal toward. It is incredibly unprofessional. You are accusing John Winkler of being unprofessional, but since you've been on the board, the only unprofessional activity I've seen has been coming from you. So I politely ask and professionally ask that you ask, when you have a request of staff, that you be professional in the manner you do it. Staff has always treated you professionally. He's been very transparent to everybody about how professional he has treated you. I simply ask that you do that in return. And I know that your time is valuable. All of our time is valuable. And when I say that, it's very, very clear that the time that I've been on this board, there's enough people on this board and in the seats. They have been here long enough to see people like me come and go. And I've been on this board long enough to see people like you come and go. And your opinion, in my opinion, has no greater or less value than anybody else in this room, as our time. So I ask that you respect the people that are working with us to serve the public the best that they can. That is all I'll say for my report. With that, we'll move on to agenda item number 14, General Manager's Report.
Done with. Mr. Chairman, attached for your review is the Information and Education Report for June of 2017. And she wasn't here last time, but Jennifer, please stand. Jennifer Stiles, our new INE coordinator. She started and I announced her last meeting, but unfortunately she was gone. So welcome, Jennifer. She's doing a great job already, and we expect even better things in the future. The district received an email from staff member Mike Groove recognizing Lance Ulrich for his efforts in directing traffic during a medical emergency during the bike ride across Nebraska. So we want to thank Lance for his initiative to keep drivers, pedestrians, and riders safe. And we want to thank Mike for recognizing him and bringing that to our attention. Congratulations.
Mr. Chairman, General Manager, can I interrupt for a second on that? Director Klug mentioned about the staff, and in the past I've mentioned how proud I am of the staff and the work they do, all the work they do. And when I read this tonight, I got goosebumps to think that here's another indication of what our staff does. Serves instinctively. And I'm proud to be a board member when Mike and our staff instinctively takes care of a situation like that. So I'm very, very proud of how our staff react. And that's kind of an overall indication of how all of our employees behave. And I'm proud of that. So thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Thompson. And congratulations to Lori Laster for passing her professional engineer's exam. Great job, Lori. Now she can officially close the drawdown on
that's what I
the also report on purchases, construction services, professional property, personal property is attached, as well as the current and ongoing projects with the district legal counsel. The watershed partnership meeting scheduled for June 22nd was canceled. Next partnership meeting is July 27th, 2017. Also, I got on the naming of Dam Site 15A. That's received a lot of press lately and was in the newspaper about the committee being formed and all that. I did send this letter. I wanted to share it with the directors, to Mayor Stothert and CC Brooks Bench, and indicating the board's resolution that was passed January 12th. And I highlighted or quoted the recommendation. I also attached the resolution and then also highlighted our strong and professional working relationship with the City of Omaha. And then on your behalf, I thank them for their work and dedication to the citizens of Omaha. So I have not received a response back, nor a letter or a phone call or anything like that. So as far as I know that it's still in the City of Omaha's process of taking suggestions and then running it through the committee and then voting on it accordingly. So I know they have a naming committee that's appointed, and that they will make that recommendation. I think ultimately City Council then votes. So that's where we've stopped.
I might add to that, as the as reported, the naming committee is five people. By position, the chief of police, chief fire, director of planning, director of parks, and the librarian, whatever the title is, and then three at large. One is Mark Kraft, PJ Morgan, and Michael Kennedy from Millard area. Two of those appointments have expired, but I was told by a reliable source that they're going to be reappointed to their position on this naming committee. Two of the Douglas County board members, of course. So I don't know if that's happened yet. I don't know what the status is. I've talked to Bob Stubbe, planning director, and he's aware of our resolution as well. So again, I hope in time the naming committee goes along with our resolution and the mayor's quite aware of it. So we can get that thing done.
Well, thank you.
for the record, I want to say how disappointed I am in the city and or the mayor's office who decided to just put this up for naming, ignoring this board's request. Did a lot of heavy lifting on this project. And take it, give it out to public naming. Little side notes. I did talk to somebody from the Native American Commission today. Also, the Mayor Stoddard, who's appointing a new Native American Advisory Board on the, after Zachary Bearhill was tasered to death by Omaha Police. Not all Omaha Police are like this, a couple that lost it. But anyway, that there's a groundswell, and it's gone through the Native American community about what the city of Omaha decided not to have this lake named after Dr. McClesh, and they will be asking the mayor and so forth why, and maybe attending some of these meetings. And maybe if it is public, then have a few folks may ask them to name that lake after Dr. Susan LaFlesh. They put that for the board, have enough folks to honor that. It seemed to me some folks didn't like the idea of having that lake named after Dr. Susan LaFlesh. Or if they come out in the open, that'd be nice. Nonetheless, I appreciate you trying to do the follow-up, General Manager Winkler. And I don't think this is over.
Okay, that concludes my report.
Before we're giving out public accolades, I'd like to thank GM Winkler and I think the executive committee of the board for really stepping outside our comfort zone and recording the budget workshop. I know it's always difficult for us to embrace the new technology of the conference call from the 1980s. But I appreciate that we finally did it here in 2017. And even though I wasn't able actually to conference in because the meeting ran late, I was able to listen to it via podcast. So I do appreciate that, and I hope that we can have more things, embrace more technologies like that in the future.
Okay, thank you. Concludes my report.
Thank you, John. And just a note of clarity so that the adoption of the consent agenda goes smoothly next month. I do stand corrected. Childish and deflective, not defective.
Thank you, sir.
All right. So therefore, now we're ready to move on to agenda item 15, election of the Pappy and Missouri River Natural Resource District Officers, Policy 3.0.
Mr. Chair, in the absence of the vice chair, might I handle the election of the chairmanship?
Yes, please.
The office, the nominations for the office of chairman of the board is now open. Do we have any nominations?
Nominate David Klug.
Is there a second?
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Can we make this public?
Nominations?
Our policy is that we have a...
The nominations are public, but the vote would be private. If there's more than one nominee, then the votes are tallied, and it's a secret ballot.
Okay.
Per policy.
Well, what is it?
The nominations are open, public information.
Right, the nominees are.
And then if there's more than one candidate for an office, then once the nomination ceases, everyone votes and hands their vote to Gene, and it's tallied. But the ballots are secret.
The ballots are secret. It's Mike Worth. Okay, what's the proper way to request that the ballots be public?
I suppose you make a motion, but you'd have to waive the policy. So you go ahead if you can get a second.
Waive the policy?
I think you can. It takes a month.
Well, yeah, you have to change policy.
I would rule you out of order, respectfully.
I'm just asking questions.
Yeah, okay. Are there any more nominations for chair? Are there any more nominations for chair? Are there any more nominations for chair? Hearing none, close to the nominations, and shall we cast an unanimous ballot?
So moved.
So the second?
Second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Mr. Chair, congratulations.
like to open nominations for the position of vice chair. Yes, Director Teaser.
I'd like to nominate Tim Fowler. He did have a document last night, signed a document saying that if nominated and elected, he would serve. I believe you have that before you.
I do indeed.
And I nominate Mr. Fowler.
Thanks, Director Teaser. Any other nominations? Director Leahy.
I nominate Director Fred Conley.
And any other nominations for vice chair? Any other nominations for vice chair? And last call, nominations for vice chair.
Okay, everyone vote.
That would be the light green.
I move we close the nominations.
Second.
Second.
All right. Any pen votes?
That's a new one to me. Brent, it's a tie vote.
Vote again.
Like, re-vote again.
Okay. Yeah. Earn your pitch.
Okay,
use
this chairperson.
Yeah, right. Use the chairs, the pink one.
Yeah, the pink one.
And this is again for vice chair. Re-vote.
All right. Yes, yes.
There are school boards that have done this 123 times. Let's not break that record.
Yes. And we got paid by the
end. Yeah, there you go. If a vote is not for one, then it kicks out.
What do you do? Yeah, you're
right. We can cut out some paper.
There's one vote that just has an F on it, so I don't know if that stands for Fred or Fowler. But in any case, the vote is 6 for Fred Conley.
Okay, so I didn't have it.
Thank you. Moving on, I'd like to open nominations for the position of secretary.
Yeah.
Yes, Director Conley.
I'd like to nominate Rich Teeter.
Thank you, Director Conley. Any further nominations for secretary? Any further nominations for secretary? And one more call, last call, nominations for secretary. Seeing none, I move to close nominations. And by vote
and by affirmation,
yeah, affirmation.
Second by Director Fred Conley. New vote.
You did it on yours, so yeah. Right. You did on Dave's, correct? On his affirmation. Of
yeah. Vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Congratulations, Rich.
Thank you very much.
I'm next. I'd like to open nominations for treasurer.
I nominate John Conley.
Thank you, Dr. Thompson. Any further nominations for treasurer? Any further nominations for treasurer? And one last time, any further nominations for treasurer? Seeing none, I'd like to close nominations for treasurer.
And by acclamation,
thank you. By acclamation, we vote.
Seconded by Director Brett Finley. All in favor of Director John Connolly for Treasurer?
Aye.
Congratulations, Director Finley. Next, I'd like to open nominations for the NARD representative, Happy Missouri NRD.
Nominate Mr. Teaser.
Thank you, Director Thompson. Any further nominations for NARD representative? Again, any nominations for NARD representative? And last call, nominations for NARD representative. Seeing none, I'm closing nominations for NARD representative. And through acclamation, to vote for Director Rich Teaser as NARD representative. All in favor?
Aye.
Congratulations,
thank
Rich.
Thank you, yeah.
Rich. Lastly, NARD alternate representative. I'd like to open nominations.
Nominate Tim Fowler.
Tim Fowler's been nominated. Any other nominations? Director Leahy. I'll
nominate Director Larry Bradley.
This is where you need to accept
my poker face.
Unless he doesn't want
it. Yeah, you looked very serious for a second there, Director.
He has to withdraw.
Now I accept the nomination.
Okay. All right. Any further nominations for NARD alternate representative? Any other nominations for NARD alternate representative? And final call. For NARD alternate representative. Seeing none, we're closing nominations. Please vote.
Who voted with the orange wand?
I can't tell you.
Oh, I bet I did.
It's not a secret ballot anymore.
There's not one.
Six for Director Larry Bradley and four for Director Fowler.
Congratulations, Director Bradley. And I just want to check with Brent real quick to make sure this is all official on the up and up. As far as
legal.
Yeah. I know you're, in years past we had a full resolution that named everybody. I'm wondering if we need to do that again.
I think we do.
I think it's in the package.
Yeah, it's in the package.
We have to do the assistant.
Oh, there it is. Perfect.
You're getting ahead of yourself, Dave.
That I am indeed. Is that by voter appointed?
That's appointed by me, but approved by the board.
All right.
My pleasure to appoint, subject to your approval, Patrick Leahy to continue as assistant treasurer. And he has indicated to me that he will accept.
I would second that motion. Roll call, and I guess we have the full roll call, right?
You get that on the full motion.
Here we go.
It's
going to
be on the board.
You can read that. All right. Spread. Secretary.
These are Green Conley and Jake and Leahy.
I got it. Here, just 1 second. All right. Thank you for your patience. To item 15, be resolved that the following directors be and are hereby elected officers of the Pappy, Missouri Natural Resources District for the coming year and until successor has been elected. David Klug for chairperson, Fred Conley for vice chairperson, Director Rich Teaser as secretary, and Director John Conley as treasurer. Be it further resolved that the treasurer's written designation of Director Leahy as assistant treasurer is concurred in the by the board of directors. Be it further resolved that the presently elected treasurer, Director John Conley,
and the designated Assistant Treasurer, Director Leahy, be and are hereby authorized to serve until such time as bonding is completed on the Treasurer-elect and the Assistant Treasurer designate. Be it further resolved that Director Rich Teaser is hereby elected to the Natural Resource Association of Resource Districts for the coming year, and that Director Bradley is hereby elected to elected the Natural Association of Resource Districts alternate director for the coming year, and I so move.
Second. Second.
A motion and a second. Roll call on the motion, please.
Yes. Bradley.
Yes.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
Don Conley.
Yes.
Brian Wall.
Yes.
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 Leahy.
Yes.
Teaser.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Jefferson.
Yes. Thank you. Agenda item 17, informational items. The next board meeting will be on August 10th, 2017 at this location. With that, congratulations to all of those that have been appointed and elected. We are adjourned.
Same thing you said.
Yeah, same thing you said.
There you go. Congratulations.